Before we get started, a letter to you. Hey, this year will be 3 years old. We crawled through the comment section. You told us how to walk. The comment section is loud, but biting your tongue can make for a deafening silence. And now, we're learning how to speak, pushing the boundary over and over again. You trusted us to do so much more than comments. Commentary on our culture, our people, the emotions we hide so deep. Never dates that fade, never words that age like milk. Never giving up. Still Tabby, still Kai. Your patience will always be rewarded. Thank you for your continued trust. Unpack has been based around the comment section for the last 3 years. And the game plan's been pretty simple. We find the hottest articles online, read them all, scour the comment section for juicy, out-of-pocket, or insightful comments, and read them out to you to dissect their nuance. From that, we find out how the country's feeling. That high-pitched squealing gets toned down and those whispers and murmurs become elevated through this podcast. Now, whether that be comments you want to read, share with your friends, screenshot and crop to your group chat, or the ones that leave you lying awake in your bed, staring at the ceiling, wondering if we'll ever truly advance as a society. When it comes to our topic today, there's been a lot from both sides of the coin. To advance the conversation, we're taking a lot more from comments than we used to, unpacking more than moments, instead, observations of our culture, things that get shoved in our faces with headlines, but are never discussed in the comment section. This series will be focused on Kiwi masculinity, a term that's been used in a multitude of ways in the last decade. So, for today's purpose, we're going to limit the use of the words so that we can provide a breakdown of what it means without the words fragile or toxic behind it. This is a coffee break exclusive, meaning it's a 15-minute little snack of unpack to keep you going through your week. So, flick the kettle on, grab us that LaFaria coffee, and a peppermint tea bag for Tabby, because you know he don't drink coffee. Without further ado, let's unpack.
Fucking Floyd or somebody.
Now, as always, we provide you with an in-depth screenshot of the topic at hand. Cultures and identities are built around an anchor. The anchor is something that everybody in the culture knows. It may be the way you cook something, the small details of spices or feelings of a dish that you can't explain to someone who isn't of the culture. That sort of stuff brings you closer together.
Unacceptable. This brother can't cook.
This is not jollof rice.
You need to be able to cook your jollof rice properly if you want to find a wife.
For others, it's the language and the way things are pronounced. The differences in accents and auditory punctuation that allows people of a certain culture to feel more connected. Even if we've all been displaced, our knowledge of the language will make us feel connected in the middle of nowhere.
Wagwan, everybody. I'm Mini M. Tevin, and welcome again to Learning Patois in a Minute, where we teach you how to speak the Jamaican language.
In Season 3 of Unpack, we discussed how the Kiwi identity is a pendulum swinging between Waitangi Day and Anzac Day, our indigenous identity and our colonial identity, making us truly break when we realize how much Kiwi diaspora can be a variety. Wondering what kind of Kiwis you're going to meet along your travels. No matter what, the Kiwis you meet will know this. The bloke. The DIY guy. The number 8. The humble hero. For the purpose of our journey together, let's find out what the ideal Kiwi man is made of. We've read hundreds of headlines, copied and pasted comments, went through academic articles, had many beers over the barbecue, talking with everyone we could about what makes the Kiwi man the most recognizable figure in New Zealand. However, from being men ourselves, we've also taken a look within and around us for the sake of this investigation. The box that we all fit in. Who sets the parameters of what it takes to be a man's man in New Zealand? And we're not the first ones to look at this. Sandra Coney, colorful and decorated author with over 30 books under her belt, said, "They would be muscled, sinewy, and tough. Not effete, weak, and bookish. They would be practical men, doers, not thinkers. They express their culture not in theaters, galleries, or pomp, but on the rugby field, in the back blocks, in the great outdoors. It was a culture of the body, rather than the mind." For most of this podcast, we let you, the commenters, do the talking. And one of our main criticisms is that we allow our news agencies to just throw a grenade into our handbasket and watch us scurry and scatterbrain vomit all over the place. The way the Kiwi bloke has been painted and shoved in our faces has become a cultural phenomenon, a bandwagon, if you will, which occurs when certain individuals, in this case men, behave in a certain way merely because other individuals do as well. For example, in any other context, it would be totally normal for people to sit watching a sport, right? When groups of men get together in New Zealand to watch rugby, why do they stand? It's a phenomenon because there's no direct answer. It's almost become so regular that nobody cares. But we do it because someone else did it, and we're just assimilating into what we believe is normal. Watching the last 10 minutes of a rugby game sitting down still doesn't even feel right to me. Why do I cross my arms when I'm on the touchline watching sport? Why do I open my beer bottles with a lighter or another beer? Anything but a bottle opener. And the playing field for this podcast is what we can find online. So, let's read out some of the largest headlines posted by our news outlets in the last decade that mention men or masculinity. To the Facebook public and 90% of New Zealand that gets its news from their phone, what are the headlines synonymous with masculinity? We start with New Zealand Herald, published April 28th, 2023. Headline says, "What Men Really Think About Modern Dating, by My Exes." Tagline says, "Is modern masculinity really in crisis?" Megan Agnew asks six of her recent dates. Hashtag Herald Premium. Herald Premium article talks about dating and men. Listen, anytime a journalist or writer is writing about their dates and writes it as social commentary, you shouldn't take it as news. But I guess this is what we've sunk to, right? To push the conversation of the concept itself. When else are we going to want to talk about men if it's not behind the clickbaity premium sponsored content type thing? The next one is from Stuff. May 1st, 2017. Headline says, "Opinion. Can we please just let men be men?" Tagline says, quote, "I quite liked men as they were. I'll admit to missing the old, regressive, loaded magazine kind of masculinity," unquote. I don't really think that I could unpack loaded magazine kind of masculinity, and I really don't even want to get into it.
So we don't have the capacity.
To get into the comments of this article would be a full episode type of adventure, but I'll read you out a piece from it that the team found interesting. Quote, "I can't remember the last time I heard a dirty joke that wasn't told by me. I can't remember the last time a man complimented me, now either too risky or offensive in itself, on a dress, and I can't understand why men are forever apologizing for things they haven't said or done. Anyone would think a giant from the Gender Equality Committee had reached down from above and filleted the lot of them. Are we really no longer allowed to be entertained by or even acknowledge any differences between the sexes?" Unquote. Now, while this can be very far from what you believe or where the conversation is, it did bring out a lot of the conversation in the comments. Here's a comment from Holly. Holly says, "This article is offensive to men. When did men stop being men? All the men I know are still men. Even the ones who don't catcall me, don't drink till they're wasted, or are, gasp, stay-at-home parents. The author's definition of men is the problem here." Holly raises a very good question. Who are our men? Are they catcalling drunks that watch rugby with their arms folded? Or are they stay-at-home parents, DIY heroes, and faithful to king and country? Regardless of our opinion on the matter, I think the box we've put together as a nation that is responsible for our men definitely has all those characteristics. This opinion article is the spark for this episode, because it finally allows the discourse to happen. Instead of comments being on the "I want more Kiwi bloke" side or "I like sensitive feminine men," they finally question what the Kiwi man is. Holly's comment exemplifies that. This series is dedicated to taking that comment and deep diving into what those characteristics are that made the Kiwi bloke. Our generation is the first to question the binary by consensus. For the first time in human history, questioning the binary openly in parts of the world isn't deemed crazy or insane. It's totally normal to be skeptical of the environment you were raised and molded in. We looked up the word masculinity on the N-gram. The N-gram shows the use of a word in literature all the way back from the 1800s to today. Of course, literature for the most part was written by men pre-1900 who had no real need to use the word themselves. But as time went on, not only did more people write about masculinity, but more people started to question it. Instead of being a steadfast definition, We recognize it as a concept that can be broken apart into its devilish details and unspoken beauty. A construct created by us. A creation only we can be blamed for. A creation only we can truly nurture. And nurturing the masculine parts of anything can help to heal the dangerous parts of it as well. Bell Hooks said that deep down, all of us want to be loved by a man, not limited to a partner, but expansive to a father, an uncle, a teacher, a stranger. But to create loving men, you must first understand the role models those fathers and uncles and teachers can become. What do our young men learn from the Kiwi men we parade in the papers and on the radio and on the TV? What happens when we go through the top 10 Kiwi men and take their most powerful characteristics to make one imaginary Kiwi bloke? Some dude named Andrew or something. Will he be the humble hero we know Richie McCaw to be? Will he stand up for what he believes in despite the powers that be, like Honohike? Well, I guess you're going to have to find out next week. Or join us on Patreon at patreon.com/unpack, where this episode and the rest of the series is already out. But until next time, it's been Kyle.com. Thanks for listening.
Fucking Floyd is somebody.